Our epistle for this first Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience and tribulations and hardships and distresses and stripes, in imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's epistle and the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, every Lent we come to this first Sunday and we read the same epistle and the same gospel. We read St. Paul writing in his second letter to the Corinthians that now is the acceptable time. But I'm here to tell you that the now is no less real today than it was over 2,000 years ago when he wrote to the Corinthians. Or 2,000 years ago, about. The day of salvation was for them when they lived and with the graces given to them. The day of salvation is for us now and the graces given to us now. It is important for us to make good use of those opportunities of grace and not to be blind to them or be nonchalant about them. Here it is important for us, I think, to pause for a second and to redefine to ourselves, or recall the definition, I should say, of what grace is. Grace isn't some theological term that's out in the cosmos that we're lucky if we happen to run into it. No, grace, my dear friends in Christ, is a gift from God, from Him to you. And that gift is a connection with Him. In the Catechism of the Council of Trent, in the Catechism of Baltimore, in the teachings of the Church, we are taught that grace, there's two types of grace. You have actual grace and sanctifying grace. Actual grace is the grace that works around us. The gifts given to us by God that surround us, other people, the beauty in nature and creation, sacramentals, the presence of God in His holy places. Then there is sanctifying grace. Now, sanctifying grace is the one that's most important because it is God's life within you, the life of God within you. Now, a few things to understand about sanctifying grace. If you have it, you go to heaven. If you don't, you can't. If you go stand before God and you have no symbiotic connection with Him, He doesn't fulfill your soul with His grace. He says to you, I don't know you. Just like He said to those foolish virgins in the parable who didn't trim their lamps and made sure they had no oil, or made sure they had oil. When the bridegroom came, they were found wanting, and they went to go try to get some. The bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in. They weren't ready. And they came and they pounded on the door, open to us, O Lord. And He says, I don't know you. Christ ends that parable by saying, watch and pray, for you know not the day nor the hour. Now is the acceptable time. We have been given God's grace today. We're given God's grace to go to confession and to receive Him in Holy Communion. There's one element that's so important for us to make sure we pay attention to that we have, and that's humility. Humility before God, not before man, before God, what God thinks. We humble ourselves. The Church encourages us in this humility where she tries to help us to pray proper and start off by partaking in these gifts that we have been given by having that spirit of contrition, which is one of the four ends of prayer. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. We confess that we are sinners and we have need of a Savior. Humility is absolutely important. Far too often, too many people spend too much time on things that are useless. They care too much of what other people think of them. They, for the sake of human respect, will sacrifice their relationship with God. And they won't count the blessings of the present. But not you, not me. We can. We open up our eyes today and we see now is the acceptable time. Now is when I rise from sleep. And I say, no, I'm not going to go by the way of the world and the way of popularity. I am going to go by the command of God. But like I said, it takes a humility. That humility prompts us to do penance. That's why we're called in this penitential season to do extra penance. What does it say about the kingdom of heaven? It beareth violence, and only the violent bear it away. What does that mean? That means only them that are willing to fight the world, fight their fallen human nature, fight the devil, only they can have the kingdom of heaven. So many people put too much effort or more effort into making excuses of why they don't do or can't do. And they use their energies to try to get other people to agree with them. And they forget about the moments that they have, the acceptable time, but not you and me. We are here. Now we count our graces, we count our blessings, and we make sure that we use them properly. In the gospel, we read that our Lord was tempted. It is here important for us, I think, to remember that he had been fasting and praying for 40 days in the desert. Fasting and praying for 40 days. Quite a bit of penance and prayer from God made man. And after that, he was tempted. How many times do we get on a roll of doing spiritual exercises and good works and praying our rosary daily, praying our daily prayers, and then we're tempted, and then we're discouraged by the temptation? No, we can't be. Gold is tried by fire. A temptation is a test of a love that we want to purify in our hearts for God. And so God allows us to be tested. But the greater part of each temptation is the discouragement that may accompany it. And we can't allow ourselves to be discouraged, because that's the playground of the devil. He gets into our head and he starts whispering his little whispers. And so we would put aside our good works. There's this commentator of the Gospels, and I'll just end with this. He's a Jesuit. Very famous. He takes the four Gospels and really dissects them. His name is Cornelius a Lapide. And there's one section as I was reading and preparing for this Sunday's Gospel and sermon and meditation. I ran across this one part that he writes. Learn here that the devil, in the same way that he tempted Christ to cast himself headlong, horribly tempts Christians and holy men by stimulating the imagination, the blood, black bile, so that they may have sad, terrible, bloody, despairing, blasphemous thoughts, such as has never come into their minds before. Let them comfort themselves by the example of Christ, for God permitted it so that his humility, virtue, and merit might be the greater. The advice which Scipio Nasica gave to the Romans, not to destroy Carthage when it was conquered, lest the Roman youth should become enervated by ease in peaceful times, so that Carthage raising war would be a perpetual spur to their courage, you might apply to the struggle which the saints endure through frequent temptation. The remedy is constancy of mind, fortitude, a firm trust in God, by which you will manfully overcome temptation of every sort, even the most grave, improper, and abominable. So when we're tempted, we don't give way to discouragement, but we understand what we're going through. We are proving our love for God. Temptations come in all shapes and sizes. They can come from other people. The greater temptations come from ourselves, even though we blame them on the devil. The devil and his little inspirations and antics definitely does his share. The world out there with its neon lights and its distractions. But every one of these temptations are permitted by God. And God himself also tests us, as he tested Abraham with Isaac. And that's a test of love. Do you love me? It's here important for us to identify the love we have been given. We have a crucifix. When we look at it, we're reminded when Christ came, took upon himself our sins. No greater love than this than a man has. But let us open up our eyes. We can look at a crucifix as a symbol, but what you and I have here in a few moments is not a symbol. It's a representation of Christ on the cross. Or so that's what Holy Mother of the Church teaches us. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of grace. Now it is time for us to rise from sleep and to partake in all humility so that we can be victorious over our foe, the devil, over this world, which is not our true home, heaven is, and over our fallen nature, so that having died to self, Christ can rise within us and we can have share in his glory for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.